to sing you with all your heart now. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, He's holy.
Jesus is holy.
Amazing that a holy God, a holy Christ, would be willing to live in a heart like mine. Amen. And a heart like yours. It's amazing. His grace is totally amazing. Amen. Do you love Him this morning? Amen. Isn't He the best thing that ever got a hold of you? Amen. Give Him a hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Praise the Lord. Did you enjoy church here last night? How about the word of the Lord? Was it outstanding? Do you appreciate God and what He's telling us? He's got a masterpiece in mind. If we can just get that in our mind. And God would help our understanding to receive what He's trying to convey to us. I tell you what, it's such a privilege to be identified with the message of this hour. And the word of the Lord for this day. And with Elijah, the prophet of God, of Malachi 4 and 5. It's a privilege to be identified. I'm honored to be identified with it. How about you? Do you love Him with all your heart this morning? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Let's sing that one more time. We're going to sing that one more time. If you ever sing it with all your heart, I want you to sing it this morning to realize what God has done for you in this hour. Where He has brought us from, where He has brought us to, and not only that, but where He's taken us to. Amen. Aren't you glad that you're on your way there this morning? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, good morning, soldier.
for He is.
I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request this morning. Brother Brad, if you would get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. Virginia Rhodes says they are removing my son from the breathing machine. Please pray that he will be able to breathe on his own. So let's just commit that to the Lord this morning. And our little grandson, Tucker, fell this morning, busted his head open. And they're on their way to the emergency room with him this morning. So if you would, just be mindful of that little fellow, that the Lord would just help him. Brother Johannan says, I need your prayers for our pastor, Brother John Mark Lucey. I guess I hope I got that name close to being right. From northeastern Uganda. He has been hospitalized due to liver disease. I believe that if you pray, God of heaven will heal him. Isn't that a good confidence that this man has got in your prayers this morning? I believe if you'll pray that God will heal him. Somebody's got confidence in your prayers, don't they? Amen. Brother Carter Lawson says, please pray for my sister Clara Moore. An unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about that situation. Also, Brother Robert from New York said to greet Happy Valley. So we just send our greetings back to Brother Robert and pray over that prayer request this morning. Sister Angel Latchman says, I am kindly requesting prayers for myself. It's been a few weeks now. I have not been feeling well. I'm experiencing terrible pain under my ribs on my left side and in my back. It has been making me feel very sick. I trust the Lord for complete victory over it. Thank you. So we just commit that prayer request unto the Lord this morning. I want to pray for the family of Sister Clara Story from Limestone, who passed away this week. So let's remember that family. Also the family of Marie Martin from Arkansas, who passed away this past week. Let's pray for that family. I want to remember Sister Vella Baines in prayer. She's in Quillen Rehab. Address and room number is on the bulletin board. Visits and cards are welcome, so remember that if you will. I want to please pray for Sister Lita Beard from Missouri. She's been very ill with food poisoning for 10 weeks. They found out Tuesday she is in kidney failure, so we certainly want to pray for that need this morning, that the Lord would be mindful of that. A lot of needs among us. We're read about it in our own assembly. So I believe last night I made an incorrect statement that Sister Ada Benton, she is sick. She suffered her second stroke and not responding to the family. I believe I said that was Sister, I forgot her name already. Cindy Hunt. I think I said that was Sister Cindy Hunt's grandmother. Actually, it's her aunt. But we still want to be much in prayer for that request this morning, that the Lord would just be mindful of that dear sister, a precious, precious saint of the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. You believe God's bigger than all of our problems? Somebody say, I believe you with all my heart. Let's stand this morning. Brother Brett, if you'd come, take us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service today and ask Him to have His divine will. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father, just first of all, the great privilege that you've given to us, Lord, that we can be able to be called children, the children of the Most High God. Lord, we just thank you for the word that you've been speaking to us, Lord. I can speak, Lord, as someone who can hold on to this message, Lord, with everything in me and just know that it's better than anything that's ever gotten a hold of me. Know that there's nothing else that I've ever felt more alive in. Because I see myself in the word that's being preached, Lord. And though it's hard for my mind to sometimes grasp, sometimes like the masterpiece sermons, Lord, you said it, and I just believe you. And I just, as hard as it is for me to see it, Lord, I just want to see it through your eyes. Brother was speaking earlier, he said, to give us revelation because it's so much deeper than our thoughts. And I agree with that because I can study over something over and over again, and I can know it by heart and quote it back to you. But until it's rooted down, until it's anchored down deep, it's not real to me yet. And God, we just ask that you just give us revelation, Father. You just speak to us today and just use my brother today. Just get him out of the way, Father. We didn't come to hear a man, Lord. We come to hear you. And God, we just ask that you just be with us, Father. May you just remind us that we have a part in this service as well, Lord God. We just ask that you just get us out of the way and we just be able to pull on that gift, Father. We pray that you just speak to our hearts and just help us receive it, Lord. Father, with the request I have in my hand, Lord God, I know there was many needs among us, Lord Jesus, many with needs in their bodies, Lord God, injuries and sickness, Lord. It's a time where a lot of people are getting sick, Lord, and we pray that you just be with each one. Pray that you just be with the little fellow that got hurt, Lord. Pray that you just be with the families that lost loved ones here lately, Lord. Pray that you just be with the families and just your spirit just console them, Lord. And Father, we just pray once again that you just have your will done in each one of these, Lord God. May you just heal the afflicted, Lord, and may you just lift up the discouraged, Lord. Pray that you just be with the remainder of the service, Lord. We just commit it into your hands. Pray that you just give glory unto yourself, Father, we pray in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. I'm proud of that young man right there, aren't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, Brother Brett. God bless you. Not only Brother Brent, but I'm proud of all of our young people. Amen. I certainly am. I'm proud of our young people, Brother West. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you know what? Even you old folks, you older people, I'm proud of you too. God bless you this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song this morning. You may know a lot of important people in your life. You may have met a lot of important people in your life. And you may have met somebody that's absolutely nobody. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The greatest person that you could have ever met or ever even thought of meeting is Jesus Christ. That's the greatest name among all names. And to think that you know Him. How about that? Brother Harold, you know the greatest name that's ever been mentioned on human lips, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's quite a privilege, isn't it? Ain't everybody can say that. Give our Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love Him.
Thank you, buddy.
Ushers, if you want to come, receive the morning tithe and offering. Are they already doing that? If you want to come while we're doing that, let's give the offering. Let's sing this song this morning.
I was so bound up. My life was so tied up. No peace within. Chains could not hold me. Confused, so lonely, so shackled with sin. Who is that coming from the other side of the sea? His eyes of compassion, they're piercing. Talk of conversation for my multiple relations, so shackled with sin.
Pain
at noonday,
oh, sing it to him.
When the sun was burning down, I hid my face from style so bound, but there was Messiah. He was sitting on the well. My story
and
life, he began to tell.
Well,
I've forgiven you, Samaritan.
Sing this little chorus just before we change the order of the service this morning. Brother Justin, if you want to come onto the platform, be getting ready to give us a song this morning. I actually got more songs than I'll be able to work in, but I will get you as soon as time allows, so that's my fault. You just bear with me in this. But let's sing this little chorus this morning as Brother Justin gets ready to sing for us. There's still power in the name of Jesus. You believe that with all your heart this morning? I didn't say it, but visitors, if we have any here this morning, God bless you. You're welcome to be with us. Brian, God bless you. Good to see the McKinneys here this morning. Appreciate them being here. All those that are streaming this service, I pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Just good to be a Christian. Just good to be in the house of God. He woke us up this morning. Let us be here. Amen. There's still power in the name of Jesus. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's still power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's still power. You can be seated. Brother Justin, we appreciate our brother this morning, don't we? Give him a nice hand as he gets ready to sing.
For love's embrace, it might be a while before you smile. I know, 'cause I fought that fight, and weeping may endure for the night. But it's almost morning, joy will replace the tears, calm all your darkest fears. It won't be long till the dawn. Tomorrow's another day to live free of all your pain. So don't give up on your faith, 'cause it's almost morning. I've been where you are. I've had my heart break too. I've cried in the dark. I can relate with you. And I have prayed to see the sun break free while the storm was still inside. So when the darkness consumes your guiding light, remember it's almost morning. Joy will replace the tears, calm all your darkest fears. It won't be long till the dawn. Tomorrow's another day to live free of all your pain. So don't give up on your faith, 'cause it's almost morning. It's almost morning. Joy will replace your tears. Calm our darkest fears. It won't be long till the dawn. Tomorrow's another day to live free of all your pain. So don't give up on your faith, 'cause it's almost morning. No, don't give up on your faith, 'cause it's almost morning. The Lord.
Appreciate Brother Justin singing. Appreciate his daddy just a little bit. Amen. Praise the Lord. How can we leave Sister Karen out of the equation? God bless her heart. That's the only thing I can say. Let's stand this morning. Let's sing a little chorus just before we have our pastor come and bring the word of the Lord. You appreciate your pastor this morning. You appreciate the word of the Lord that he brings to us. Amen. I believe in watching Brother Donnie as he preaches this series that we're in right now on the masterpiece. I believe he's enjoying preaching it as much as we are enjoying hearing it. Just to watch him preach, I believe he's really getting something out of it himself. So we praise the Lord for all that he's done for us. We are a blessed group of people. Whether you want to ever remember that or not, you are a blessed individual. Thank the Lord. Something keeps holding me. Let's sing about it as our pastor comes this morning. Something keeps holding me every day I see, helping me faithfully overcome my
temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David. builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We are grateful that we have been invited into the great court of the King. We who lived and still live in the lion's dens, in the snares of the leopard, in the mountains of Hermon, the fields of Gilead, the toils of this life. Yet, we have been invited into the courts of the great King himself, not to be servants, not to be slaves, but to be his wife. We thank you. Looking at where we came from, those things which we are naturally, it overwhelms our minds. But we are so grateful, Father. We simply take your word for it, that you love us this much. We certainly do not see what you see, but we're asking that you would help us today, that we would be enlightened to see that which is, at least that which is necessary for this part of the journey. We know you have a way of unfolding yourself and even ourselves as well. You give us what we need when we need it. So we pray only for the allotment that is needed now. No doubt if time would tarry and we would go through some of these things in a few years again, no doubt we'd see more because the time would be greater. So we pray for that which is needful today. As you told us, give us this day our daily bread. Father, you see these prayer calls I hold in my hand. Lord, Brother Amos requests them for some of the saints up in Canada. You know what the needs are, Lord. I just pray that you'd go to them. Speak with us today, Father, for it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask it. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. For me, probably as well as you, when I go to reading and trying to comprehend those things which the Lord Jesus sees and says about his church, humanly, it's more than I can be able to relate to. To be able to really see it, I'm not sure what portion of it that I do see. I'm thankful for what I see. But yet I know that looking at it from the human side, I don't think I'll ever be allowed to see it like he does. But I do want to see that portion which is necessary for me for where I am right now. And I know that changes from day to day, from week to week, year to year. So that's the portion that I myself desire to embrace, what I need for where I am today. Looking at these great things that God had inspired the writer of the Song of Solomon to say, in parallel between a man and a woman, and Christ and the bride, it looks as if though that to the carnal mind that it would be only on the natural part, just between a man being a spouse to a woman. Her in the middle of this book here, we'll get to it, that she actually leaves the time of a spousal and becomes the spouse. And yet we know that that's a great parallel between Christ and the bride as well, in that it certainly takes the Spirit of God to illuminate our hearts and our understanding, to help us to comprehend what is God saying, what is God getting at, why would he even go this way, what's the reason of it. And we know that God doesn't just say words. God has meaning whenever he says things. God could say whatever he wanted to say. Brother Bram said he could have the wind to preach the gospel, he could have the Son to preach the gospel, but he chose man, and he chose through the frailty of humanity to be able to convey such words of life. Then if it takes God to convey those words, will it not take God on the part of the recipient to be able to receive those words in the right way? If not, they just become words as any other person would have words. But whenever we look at this, I'd like to pick it up again today in verse 7, that he's going to be able to convey what he sees and how he relates to his his wife, the bride. Now keep in mind, this is not necessarily in the way that you see others, nor in the way you see or view yourself. But this is the way that he sees those that are in him. Now this is not every person that claims they are a Christian. This is not every person that is even saved. These are those that are actually in Christ Jesus in the state of perfection. Now, everybody that embraces Christianity is not there. Everybody that says they believe God sent a prophet is not there. Only those that are actually in there and sealed by the Spirit of God are the ones that he's going to be able to address to. So don't get this in your mind that this is addressing, you know, anybody and everybody that says they're a Christian, they go to church, they believe the Bible, they believe God. Absolutely not. Has nothing to do with the majority of Christendom. Because this is for his elect. And we know that there is a great difference between the bride and the church. And I know that stumbles many people, but I ain't got time to go through all that. But that's where we are. That's what we believe. Now, notice this in verse 7. He picks it up and says, "Thou art fair, my love, and there is no spot in thee. Perfectly comely through his comeliness." Divine beautification, which can only come by divine glorification. This cannot be attained to by anything you and I could ever do. There's nothing that a mortal could ever do if you live to be 10,573 years old. There's nothing you could ever do to attain this. So it's something, it is a beautification which is reached by the glorification of the power of God. And this is the only way that it can ever be attained to. So what God is actually describing here in this Song of Solomon, as well as many other places of this divine love toward his bride, is what he sees in her, and it's that which he has done. So he's looking at that which he has done, which is his own work and his own accomplishment. So here he is standing here looking like this. He's standing here looking this way, looking at you and I. And he's not looking at the frail part, the human part, all that sort of thing. But he's looking at the work which he has done. And to him, that work is so great that it overwhelms himself. That he looks at it and says, "How fair you are." And then he says again, "How fair." It's as if though he cannot even find the adjectives himself to describe the greatness of that work. Now remember, he's the author of the work. He's the creator of the work. And he is the accomplisher of the work. Yet the work is so overwhelming. Now if it does that to him, what ought it ought to do to our hearts today? Now, I want you to notice that he says, "Thou art fair, my love, and there is no spot in thee." Now, let me just touch back a little bit on what we closed out with last night. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, Paul speaking in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, here are the keys to this, three words, in his sight, not in yours, not in mine, not in the eyes of the world, but in his sight. So as God sees those that are in Christ, it's a total different way than we see, of course, one another. Now, unblameable means without blemish. The word was applied to the temple sacrifices, which were to be offered without blemish. Now, here this is brought over to the believer that is in Christ Jesus in the New Testament, that they are unblameable. So it would have been likened to searching a lamb, which the worshiper would come and bring a lamb, and the priest would look at it. He'd look over every inch of that lamb. He would look up the legs. He would look on the face. He would look in the ears. He would look around the nose, the mouth. He's looking for a blemish. He's looking for just three or four black hairs, which would totally disqualify that lamb because it must be a lamb without a spot or a blemish. So it could not be a lamb with mingled hair. So he would look over all of this lamb and part the wool and look down to the very skin because some of the diseases would actually be down beneath the hair in the skin. So the man would look and he would go over it and over it and over it. And when he had determined there was not a blemish in this lamb,
than this lamb could be offered. Now then the very God who demanded that in the Old Testament brings it over into the New and says those that are in Christ Jesus are unblameable. And then he goes to the next word, that they are unreprovable, which means they are free from accusation. Now this is why I say this is not for everybody that says they are a Christian. Because folks that are living an ungodly life, they are not unblameable. I don't care how much they think they are. They're running around, they're living like the devil, acting like the devil. Well, it's a good sign that you're under the devil's influence. You cannot live like the devil and be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no way. Now watch this in the first seal. The prophet says it this way. If the church, watch how he ties this in together. If the church has been judged and they have judged themselves and have accepted the blood. If they have been judged and have judged themselves and have accepted the blood. Now remember, God is not winking at sin. God is not looking at things in our life that's not pleasing to Him and acting like He's turning a deaf ear and a blind eye. Well, it's okay. They're my kids. That's fine. You know, they can do whatever they want to do. But actually, God must judge sin. And that sin was judged in Christ. And when a real believer comes on the process of the new birth, they actually become judged and condemned in themselves in the very resource of their sin, which is an unregenerate soul. Now, a person that does not come this way to Christ has never really come to the new birth. I'm not talking about saying, well, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. I'm really sorry I got caught. Man, I wish I hadn't got caught. But you look at yourself and you realize you are condemned because you are a sinner. And that if you have been judged and the justice of God judges you in the situation that you find yourself, then you in turn turn right back around and come to the same judgment that God came to. I am deserving of death. I'm not worthy of life. I'm not worthy of mercy. So then your judgment and God's judgment is the same. Now what are you going to do? God has condemned you because you are a sinner. You have come to the same judgment that God did and said, I am a sinner. I am worthy of death. Well then the next thing you do on the way to the new birth is you accept the only thing you can do to be pardoned for your sin, and that is the blood of Jesus. Put your name on every church book in this city and you'll still go to hell. Jump, shout, jerk, read every book Brother Branham ever printed. Listen to every tape Brother Branham ever made. But without the new birth, you're still lost. So God judges you. You judge yourself. You accept the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Then you're on your way to the new birth. Now watch. He said, if the church has been judged and they have judged themselves and accepted the blood, how can God judge a man that's perfectly, totally sinless? Devil, I'd advise you to go ahead and leave now. Because it's going to get heavy. How can God judge a man that's perfectly, totally sinless? You say there is no such a person. Every born again believer, true believer, is perfectly, absolutely sinless before God. Hallelujah. He's not trusting in his works, in the blood of Jesus, that his confession has dropped into. Now you see, a real believer, now you know people can take scriptures and they can try to take these, some of these very same fundamental points in Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian churches today, and they'll convince their people some of the same things, and they walked in sinners and they'll walk out exactly the same way. They'll walk out and drink after church, they'll light up a cigarette, they'll chew tobacco, they'll commit adultery with somebody else's wife, and yet they'll think, I'm totally sinless in the eyes of God. You are going straight to the pits of hell. Because not only are you lost, but you're absolutely deceived that you're all right before God. That's not who I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about those that are in Christ Jesus and have had a new birth and their old nature has passed away. And they are born again, and that soul, not the body, that soul is totally sinless before God. They have passed from time anything but his seed. First Thessalonians 3:13, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Notice who's doing the keeping. And who's doing the presentation? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you. Who's he going to present it to? Himself. It ain't Donnie Reagan presenting you. It's not even Brother Branham in this sense presenting you. It is Jesus presenting you to himself. And how will he present you? A bunch of dirt bags? A bunch of people that ain't worth a good clean bullet? Absolutely not. He will present you to himself without a spot. Blameless. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Notice what this does to him. With exceeding. This is his reward. For him to be able to present a people of this caliber, it overwhelms his being. It brings him joy unspeakable. It's almost more than he can comprehend and even say about it. It brings him such joy to accomplish such a work. You remember reading when Jonathan and David were such close friends. Jonathan dies and Jonathan has a son named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was very young whenever a woman had taken him and their house was being under surveillance and being onslaughted and they were going to kill him. And this woman takes up Mephibosheth and goes to running with him. And when she does, she actually falls. And it makes him lame. So here was this boy that was innocent on his part. But because he was given to the charge of a woman. And this woman, when she fell, she caused him to fall. And caused him to be lame. You understand? Well, I was innocent. You were innocent. But yet there was a woman in the Garden of Eden that was given a great position, the place of God. And when she fell, I fell and I come to the earth lame. But when David came into becoming king and David finds out that there is a seed of Jonathan that is left. But when he knows the state of this young man and he brings him into his house and sets him at the table of the king. But you know what? Mephibosheth was lame. But it was not that David had pity so much, but what David did was he reached to Mephibosheth because he was the seed of Jonathan. No doubt he felt so inadequate to be in the presence of the king and to be lame, had to be carried about everywhere that he went. Every time they'd have to come and eat, he would sit at the table, the king's table, three times a day or whatever more. And he would sit them, they'd have to carry him in and carry him out. But you know what? David did not view so much his faults. But what David was looking at was the image of his best friend in the face of that boy. Glory to God! It makes no difference if that boy had a finger missing or an arm missing or a leg missing. It It was that them faults in Mephibosheth meant absolutely nothing to David, because David saw in this boy the image of his beloved friend. May I say to you today, our lameness, our shortcomings, our failures means nothing in the presence of Almighty God. If He sees the image of His Son inside of you, that's the way we're able to sit down at the table of the King with all of our faults, all of our shortcomings. No doubt Mephibosheth needed constant reminding and constant encouraging because of being so faulty. Like you. Like me. I'm drawn to the table of the King. I've received this personal invitation, and yet I feel so embarrassed and so humiliated that I would sit at the table of the King. He himself encourages me. That's okay. I love you. I accept you the way you are. This human part plus the divine part. I love you. That's okay. Eat. Enjoy. Enjoy. Oh, I wish God would help us today to be able to see such a thing. You know, David sees in this man the parallel of the image of his dear friend. And this is why that folks that are just claiming to be Christians, claiming to be a Christian does not give you the express image which was brought to us by Christ Jesus. He was the image of the invisible God. So He came to restore the fallen image that man had lost. Everyone who's born again today of the Holy Ghost, you have that same image inside of your soul. It's there. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, but I don't see it. Really, that's not what counts. It's what the King sees. If the King looks at the table and sees the image, that's what really matters. Oh my, you may not see in yourself the image of Jonathan. You may not see in yourself what you desire and what you want to be, but what really matters is what the King himself sees. And when he turns and looks at you and he puts that smile of approval upon his face, you know he has seen the image of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. So God, beholding His offending, frail children, sees the image of His Son. Though we have offended Him countless of times, though our follies have been thousands, our failures have been who knows how many, but still He looks and He sees the image. It's the way you smile and it looks like Jesus. It's that look in the slope of your eyes. And when He looks and He sees that, He said, I see my son and my son. I see my son and my daughter. I see my son and my bride. And then He calms your fears and He has a minister to study and to spend hours and hours to bring words that will comfort you as you come to the table. Oh, I hope somebody's hearing me today. Because when you get into the presence of the King and you bring your mortality into the presence of deity, it always makes you feel the exact same way. Embarrassed, humiliated, unbecoming. You don't feel comfortable. Is that the way you feel? That's why I feel. You don't feel comfortable, that human part, in the presence of God. So what will He do? He'll have His ministers to comfort you so you can sit at the table and eat, not nervous. I hate to eat nervous, don't you? I hate to sit down and eat. Boy, you got to eat in a big restaurant or do something. So He wants us to come to the house of God, and He wants us to be at peace. He wants us to be at rest. He wants us to be at ease. He wants us to sit around and look and always that were to Him, and Him look back to us, Him smile at us smile back at Him, and know I'm accepted. Oh, how many times does she wander from Him? How many times does she grieve His spirit? And it forces Him to have to rebuke her, but He always does it with the most tender intention. You see, God never rebukes us to be mean. He rebukes us to correct us. He wants us back at His table, back at His side. Listen to it. Brother Bam said in the Ephesian church age, the true church of Jesus Christ, the bride, is likened to pure gold. Her righteousness is His righteousness. Her attributes are His own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in Him. What He is, she is to reflect. what he has, she is to manifest. There is no fault in her. Lord, help me. I said, Lord, help me. There is no fault in her. She is all glorious within and without. From beginning to ending, she is the work of her Lord. Now, this is what he sees when he looks at us. And this is what we don't see when we look at ourselves and when we look at one another. And this is why we so struggle when we hear him saying such complimentary things and thinking God is moved by me. A little old mortal like me that I'll live my life and I'll come and go, and after I'm gone for the earth in a few years, I'll be forgotten. And God is so moved by my being. No, not just your mortal being. By his work. By his work. He looks at his work as Michelangelo looked, and he was so overwhelmed that he smote it. God looks at you and God see, oh, what have I done? What have I accomplished? And God is so moved. From the beginning to the end, she is the work of her Lord. And all his works are perfect. In fact, in her is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. In the bride, the eternal wisdom and the eternal purpose of God is all summed up. The whole thing is added up and finished in the bride. I'm sure glad he said these next few lines. How can one fathom it? How can one understand it? Though we cannot do that. And I said, well, glory. Though we cannot do that, we can accept it by faith. For God has spoken it. Glory. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Now, I want you to notice now, the whole idea is that the Shulamite virgin is being beckoned from her birthplace. He identifies where this Shulamite would have been from. Now, remember, it's a type, so it bears between us and her. So, Amana, Hermon, Lebanon, it's a mountain, a mountain area that has many low places, high places, snow-capped mountains, craggy rock faces, places that lions would hide, and leopards. The Shulamite, her origin was in a very dangerous place. Now here the king in Jerusalem is beckoning her to come. And to leave the birthplace, her nativity. The fair Shulamite must now make the journey from Lebanon to Jerusalem. Much of this journey will be dangerous. She will come down the craggy mountain places and the lairs and the dens of lions and leopards. Much of this journey she may seem like will be all alone. But the key to this verse is the opening part of it when he says, come with me. Which lets us know we are not making this journey on our own. Now, on this side of where she is, there's sheer rock faces and mountains that are being on the outcrops that are so steep, so jagged that it would be perfect places for the animals or the beasts of the wild to hide. Waiting on an unexpected animal to come by, and they would make their lair near the mountain pass. But on the other side of this place, Shinir, Hermon, Amana, is Jerusalem, the city of the great king. The streets there, we are told, are pure gold. And the water of life comes out from under the throne of God. We're taught that it's built in the shape of a pyramid. And the throne sets on top, and the water comes out from under the throne and trickles down through every terrace and down every yard. So those who live on the top will get the water first, and the water comes down through your yard, down through your garden, down through your terrace, and works its way right on down through the church ages, and then comes right back up again. But yet the birthplace of the Shulamite was not streets of gold. It was not the pure river of the water of life. But it was in the danger of lion's dens, in the lairs of the lepers. But the king so wants her to be with him. But she must be willing to make this journey to leave her homeland. To leave mother, father, brother, sister, whatever necessary. You can't live there and live up here in the city of the king at the same time. Glory. Come to Jerusalem, my love. Leave Lebanon. Leave your old denominational rags behind you. Leave your old preconceived ideas of whatever you thought God was and religion was, and come to Jerusalem, to the city of the king. Leave Amana, leave her on. Oh, it'll be dangerous, through many dangers, toils, and snares. You must come through, but once you get past this place, you will be rewarded. Oh, Jesus. Leave your low associations. Leave the filth of sin. Leave a life of debauchery. Come to Jerusalem and live in the presence of the great king. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. You see, this world, friends, is not a place of rest for Christ's wife. This is why we feel the pressure of the age we're in. Everywhere we look, the world's getting worse every week. You hear about it, my goodness, you wonder next week what'll happen. You think, well, we've heard the worst. No, we've not. It's going to get worse and worse as we go on. Murderings and killings and everything going on, troubles and rumors of wars, all kinds of things. It is a world of lion's dens. It is a world of leopard lairs. It is a world of mountains and strains and difficulties and things that we must come through. And really, when you look at it in one sense, the bride hearing this call come from Lebanon, it is a daily call. But one day it will be consummated in the greatest call we've ever heard, next to our new birth, and that is the call to leave this world. Notice this, Jesus says in Luke chapter 9 verse 23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. This is not something you do once. It's something you do every day. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Believers being redeemed from this present evil world. The soul already soaring in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yet in time, we're still in the seventh church age. In time, we're still in Laodicea. In time, we're still dealing with heartaches and sickness and trouble. Yet in eternity, we're already glorified. Don't you understand? It's embracing both of those worlds that makes you so unhappy. It's touching both of those worlds of sinners down here. The unconverted church member, they have no idea what you feel. They have no idea the feel that you feel, the pull of the third pull on your soul. They do not relate to such a thing. They might get a little religious feeling and cry a little bit. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the call from the streets of gold, the call from the gates of pearl, the call from the city of Jerusalem is pulling on you, and yet you live in lion's den. This is something that we must watch, since our life is constantly surrounded by leopard lairs, lion's dens, rock faces, craggy places. Paul says that this way in Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So you mean a person can be free and become entangled again? A person can be set free from drinking, smoking, lying, adultery, and get entangled again? Sure they can. But they won't if they stay in Jerusalem. 2 Peter 2:20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Did you see why folks are pulled away from this word? It's no wonder their lives are falling apart. Their homes are falling apart. They're worse off than if they ever knew this message in the first place. And this is something we must beware of and keep before us. Remember, friend, until we leave this world, oh my, the birthplace, the place around us is filled with dangers. It's filled with everything imaginable and some things that we cannot imagine, I'm sure. But what will keep us going? We have heard the call, and we must keep on our journey till we reach the city of the King. Oh, the rugged paths of the believer from Emmanuel. The difficulties as we leave Hermon. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. Okay, Lord, as long as you're with me. That don't mean I'll always feel him. Sometimes I'll look for him. I'll try to find him. And I won't be able to feed him at all, Brother Taylor. I'll pray and it seems like he's not even there. I'll have many prayers that in my view will seemingly be unanswered. And the reason of that will be because I didn't recognize the answer. Or it wasn't answered in the way I wanted. But he will be with me because he said he would. You believe that? So, you know what? If he is standing with me, if he is standing near enough to Lebanon, Amana, Hermon, Shanir, that she can hear him, that means he has left his home. And by his presence, he is there near her and speaking to her where she lives. So he himself has left the city of the King, and here he is now. He's right with her. He's right in the midst. All right. Right in the midst of the lion's den. He's near the leopard lair. He is near the craggy rock places, and he's saying, come with me, which means he has come to where she is. I hope you understand today. May God anoint our ears. The Lord God speaking to us today. The Lord God himself is right here in this church building this morning. He has condescended by his presence. And he's telling you, come with me. Leave Lebanon. Leave your drinking behind. Leave your smoking behind. Come with me. Why would you want to remain in the lion's den when you could have fellowship with the King? Now, living in East Tennessee in our mountains here, more than likely there's bobcats, coyotes, bears. I've seen all those, so I know they are. Plus things that we haven't seen. But somehow we feel safe being out here in the city. But yet if you lived near there and you saw the evidence and the signs, bear, mountain lion, bobcat, whatever more was right next to you, you'd be very careful what you left outside. You had a dog come out missing, then a cat, then a horse, then one of your boys. So you would feel the danger of living in that kind of a place. Now people out here in the city say, really? You mean there's bears around here? Some of y'all look at me like there ain't none. You mean there's bobcats? Oh my goodness, I didn't realize there's coyotes. There's all kinds of things out yonder. And may I say spiritually, there's all kinds of things out yonder that you work with and you bump into at Walmart, and they're the ones that growl and about run over you for a parking spot at Walmart and slit your throat. Terrorism to the highest degree. Parking spot at Walmart. That's the kind of people that we're surrounded with every day. Come on, children. Road rage has never been like it is. People are on the brink of insanity. They'll just about kill you if you cut them off or whatever more when it comes to driving. You know what I'm talking about. So all around us is lion's dens and leopard lairs. Why in the world would we want to stay in this world? It's beyond me. Oh my. But somehow or another, if he's with me, the descent from the manna, the passing from manna to Shinear, from Shinear to Hermon, it will be made safe with his presence. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, with that in mind, here comes the triumphant confession of the bride when she receives this revelation. Psalms 27:1. A psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. I want you to notice how personal now Psalms 27 should be to the believer. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and of whom shall I be afraid? This is not addressed to Happy Valley. This is not addressed to the entire message group. This is addressed to an individual. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me. Can you imagine a whole army against one person? Though war should arise, not war against me and you and all of us together, but though war, this shows, oh hallelujah, this shows the undefeatable status of a predestinated seed of God. That Satan can bring everything he's got out of hell against one son or one daughter of God, and when the smoke is all cleared and the dust is all settled, that one son or daughter of God will be standing upright on the promise of the word of God, for all of Satan's army cannot destroy one of his elect. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All of Satan's army is powerless. The host should encamp against me. You ever been there? What a host! What against you and your wife, you and your husband, your daughter, but you felt like a host was against you. My heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. I pay my tithes. I'm pretty rich. I've got a good living. I go to church on Sunday whether I need to or not. I believe every word the prophet said. That's not where his confidence hung. His confidence was on this one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord. I didn't pray for money. I didn't pray for wealth. I didn't pray for fame, popularity. But there's one thing I desired of the Lord. And that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. This is how come David could say, I have no question. I have no question I'll overcome this, because from my soul, there's one thing I desire. I desire God's soul. I desire to inquire from the temple of God, from the house of God. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me on a revelation for the rapture. Hallelujah. He shall set me on a rock, which is a revelation. This is why the bride is waiting for the revelation of the rapture. And every individual going in that rapture will be set upon that revelation, and it will cause her body to be changed. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon, look from the top of the manna, from the top of Shinir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. So now we have a new title introduced. The word spouse is mentioned 6 times in the entire Bible. All 6 are in the Song of Songs. Praise the Lord. So now he calls her my spouse. So the day of espousal is over. Now, up to this part here, they have been in the engagement, and part of this picks up in this 5th or 6th verse, to where that it is now being spoke on the way to the marriage ceremony. So she's no longer bride, she's wife. You can be bride and backslide. Now listen close, I know this stings us message folks. You can be bride and be lost. Boy, you're listening. You know why you are? Because you don't understand it. Eve was a bride. But she was a bride who had become defiled. And when Adam took her and she became his wife, she was already defiled. Notice in Revelation 19:9, let us be glad and rejoice and make merry, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife. What is a bride? It is a woman which is espoused to a husband. But she can backslide from that espousal and be rejected. Israel was God's Old Testament bride. And she refused to go on with the word. And God put her away in divorcement. And millions of them are lost. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What is it? As a bride. But I fear. So if espousal is predestination, why is Paul fearing? Because espousal was not eternal security. Come on, children. Get quiet. The first church age was espoused and they backslid. The second church age, the espousal has gone on for 7 church ages. But there has been an elect that went beyond the espousal in every age and become the wife. Don't you understand? This is what's happened to many folks around this message. They sit around the message and they become espoused and they call themselves bride. And the dangerous part about it is they were. They were espoused by this message. They were espoused by this same prophet. Now they ridicule. But now they've turned it down and now they will be annihilated. But I'm not just espoused. I got married. Praise the Lord. I don't want to just be bride. I want to be wife. Because you can backslide from bride. Remember whenever Mary was found with child and Joseph was going to put her away privately? Why? She was his bride but had not yet become his wife. Don't let that stagger. You've heard enough preaching on that to know it's the truth. Bride, 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 bride. That's all a lot of folks talk about. We better be talking about a wife. And notice this as he begins to bring her into a further advancement of her position. How he's bragged on her characteristics and her traits and said about her cheeks and her eyes and her hair and all that sort of thing. Now he's moving on position. Notice in chapter 4, verse 9, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. Chapter 4, verse 10, how fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine? Now, he couldn't call her this. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and the first part of chapter 4. But something has now transpired. He has went in unto her. And she has become his wife. Don't you see why there had to be an advent of the coming of the Son of Man in the last day? Romeo had to lean the ladder up against Juliet's window and climb up under the silence under the seventh seal and begin to knock. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And all seven seals come open to her. And they were joined together. Oh, hallelujah. And she conceived of his word. And the womb was fastly closed up around the predestinated seed. This is why the elect cannot commit adultery against Christ the word. But those that sat around the message and sat around this church or any other message church, and they never go on to become sealed with the Holy Ghost, they say, I'm bride, I'm bride, I'm bride, I'm bride. And they're committing adultery with the world. They're committing adultery with all kinds of things. Well, I'm bride, I'm okay. You could be lost. Now watch how he bombards her with this position. Verse 11, thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garment is like the smell of Lebanon. Chapter 4, verse 12, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Chapter 5, verse 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh and my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. So now she's entered into a spot of authority. Now let's look back in verse 9. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. The Latin Vulgate, one of the older books of the translations of actually the Bible, says, thou hast wounded my heart. Thou hast drawn my heart unto thee. Now this is Jesus speaking to the bride. Now he can say things to her that he couldn't say when she was just bride. This is why there's got to be a thinning out in our ranks so he can start talking to us as a husband and wife. Woo! Glory! He's been talking to us for years as a mixed multitude with brides sitting in there, this bride and that bride, knowing this and leaving that and leaving that and leaving, but oh, whatever they become his wife. Look at this word that Solomon used. It means to be robbed of one's willpower or his ability to think clearly. Lord Jesus, you have ravished my heart, my willpower. It's gone. Not my will, but thy will be done. What was it that brought the Lord Jesus to this place, that he would succumb to being the antitype of the serpent on the pole. That he would come to be a curse in the eyes of God and the eyes of men. What would do it? It was your existence. All the wisdom of God summed up in the purse of the bride. And when Jesus looked at the bride, if yet in the future, knowing what you would be, he was so overwhelmed. And he said, I cannot resist. She is so beautiful. She is such a wonderful work of God. I cannot resist. I have no will to resist the cross. I have no will to resist the beating and the suffering. I just can't do it. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Notice again, she gains another term of endearment after she becomes wife. He calls her his sister. Now remember, they were not brother and sister in the flesh. But notice he says, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You see, the difference between the wife of Christ and the church is that the wife, the real bride, is his sister. And the church are servants. They're not of his genos, of his own kind. Oh, we're going to get in some stuff, sure as the world. He saves them. He offers them grace. He gives them that which they do not deserve in the first place. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. They are John 3:16 Christians. But Jesus not only come to the world to seek and save that those people out yonder, but he come to buy those whose names was in the book of redemption. Now watch. He looks at his now wife and says, oh, my dearly beloved, you are my sister and my wife. Watch this in the time of the decision. Brother Bram said, so why did Rebecca make that sudden move? Why did she go to the waters of life so quickly? Why could the angel speak to her? Because she was a blood relation to Isaac. And that's who the angel can speak to tonight is a blood relation. You know why the angel of Revelation 10 don't gain much headway in the churches and the modern people of the day? Because they ain't blood relation. You know why you got an ear to hear? You're blood relation. And the angel of God can only speak to the blood relation. Now remember, Isaac and Rebekah were cousins. But our relationship is going to be even closer. Because she was blood relation to Isaac. And that's who the angel can speak to tonight is blood relation. By the blood we are born into the body of Christ. Rebecca was Isaac's own cousin, both by fathers, which made them blood relation. Look again in supersign. And look quickly, as soon as she heard about Isaac, glory, before she ever saw him, she said, I will go. Why? She was blood relation. Before all that, think of it, friends. Most of us have never even seen him. Many of you have never even heard his audible voice. But just when you heard about him, you heard about his love and his mercy and his salvation, you said, I will go. I will go. You left the lion's den. You left the leopard lair. You left all the mountain region where you were born. And you are still on your journey following Eliezer back to our eyes. And why? Your blood kin. Oh my. He said she was a blood relative to him. Glory to God. Abraham's brother's child, Isaac and Rebekah, were first cousins, showing that the church in the last days, oh my goodness, in the last days, will be blood relation to Christ. I'm going to shock you, and I'm going to shock you good. Me and Jesus have the same daddy. Poor old devil, he probably just passed out when I said that. Let me say it again. I said me and Jesus have got the same daddy. You and Jesus have got the same father. You and Jesus are all the same blood. You're of the same family. You're from the same seed of God's gene pool. Oh, hallelujah! From this point on, I'm not responsible for my behavior or actions. Glory to God. For the very God that predestinated the Christ, who was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The church itself, its name was put on the book before the foundation of the world. And Rebecca, as soon as she heard of Isaac, there was something in her that pulled her straight to him. Though she hadn't seen him or nothing, yet she wanted to go by her own choice away from her mother or brother. I love this one, Christ the mystery. The church is the blood of Christ by the Spirit, because the life is in the blood. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So the church is the blood by the life of Christ, and that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can't you see why Satan don't want people to get the real Holy Ghost? He wants to convince them they have full access to the blood and don't even have the Holy Ghost. And they don't need it, so therefore they accept the blood, they're in Christ, as he tells them that they are, and convinces them they're okay. That's wrong. This is the way your blood came to Christ, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost that baptizes us into his body, that recognizes only his body, his flesh, his word. Brother Branham has his Bible. Denomination won't never touch that. It's a revelation. She knows it. So did Eve know it, but she fell. But this one knows it and won't fall. She is ordained, and he says, hallelujah. She is ordained. Listen to this, devil. She is ordained not to fall. She won't fall. She is predestinated to it. Hallelujah. Watch now in verse 9. Let me close. Thou hast ravished my heart. You have rendered me powerless. You have left me You have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. And he says it again. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. Of course, here the symbolism is to in this time frame that when an unmarried woman would wear a veil, and a lot of her face would be totally hid. And also the humility and the inferiority that the bride feels in his presence. So here she is, as it was, just walking down the street in Laodicea. And she turns kind of sideways, and one of her eyes caught him. And he was, oh, 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 oh. Oh. You mean that wasn't the way it happened to your brothers? Don't answer that. Don't answer that, please. Please. No, no, no. I'm sorry. I'll retract that statement. I'll be having interviews to 2037 on that site no more. So just barely one of her eyes. And she catches it. And he was rendered powerless. And he said, you don't understand the power that you have over me. Hallelujah.
I just saw one of your eyes. And just by looking at that one eye, you ravished my heart. You took me a captive. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, how can we comprehend these things without you helping us? Lord, may we get a little glimpse today that it's not what we are in ourselves, but you're looking at your work. You're looking at your desire. You're looking at your love. You're looking at your fulfillment in us. How can I comprehend that you looked at a little old Kentucky hillbilly and I looked your way one day and your heart was ravished? You were left powerless. It wasn't that hillbilly. It was that seed down inside that little hillbilly heart. Lord, it's not us as Tennesseans or Americans or Africans or whatever we are. It's your work. The work that you have accomplished in your elect is so overwhelming that you step back on this side and you look at it and it so moves you. It left you without a will. It makes it so plain to me, Lord, how you was able to pay the ultimate price. No wonder Paul said in Hebrews that you endured the cross and despised the shame. You despised it. But the reason you did it was for the joy that was set before you. Oh Lord, if you did that, help us to see there's a great, very great principle in Christianity in the same way. We'll go through what we go through, suffer what we suffer, for the joy that is set before us. You could go through all that you did for the joy that was set before you, and that joy was us. You saw us before the world began, and your heart was smitten. Oh, Lord God. No wonder those who turn down this great truth are deserving to go to hell. For the price that you paid, for what you did. Lord, if there's some here today, they've been sitting around this message a long time, sitting in this church, and they identify themselves as bride. But yet they've never yet become your wife. They've entered into a stage of espousal under this message of Malachi 4. But as we've seen in the last few years, people could be espoused by the message and the messenger. And the very thing could happen to them that Paul feared would happen to his church age. And it did. But I fear lest Satan through his subtlety would corrupt your minds from the simplicity which is in Christ Jesus. And then they lose that espousal. And they're no longer bride because they refuse to go on to become wife. Oh, Jesus. May you help us today, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you. The only thing I know to do is offer you what little bit that I have. I can't comprehend that I ravish your heart. I can't comprehend that you would call me sister as far as church, spouse, your beloved, your fair one. There's no spot in me. I have to take your word for that. But I gladly do it. Hallelujah. If there's any here today, Lord, that hasn't made peace with you, may the Spirit of God help them. For we know, Lord Jesus, the bride is a garden enclosed, a fountain sealed, a spring shut up. Until we become that, we're not wife. What good's a beautiful garden, yet with no wall around it to protect it from the beast? Help us today, Lord. As we know, it was the custom, since water was a scarcity in the eastern countries, that a king would have his own well, or his own spring. And no one was allowed to drink from that spring but the king and his oldest son. And the king would put a seal on that fountain or that spring so no one could drink from it except the king and his oldest son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many here today would like to be remembered before the Lord in prayer? Children, think about what you've heard. Maybe you've sat in this church, you've sat around this message for years, and you believe you're bright. But have you ever moved into that union with Christ Jesus to be wife, where you are His and none other? When a man, a boy in the Old Testament, a young man, would take a woman, journey the engagement or the espousal was a year long. That was to make sure she was not in the seat of another man. During that time frame, that woman could commit adultery. She could break that espousal. And that man would put her away. This is where the church has been in seven ages. A messenger came. They were called. They were espoused. Every age, it was exactly the same thing. There was twins born. One would go on to become the wife. The other would hear the word and they'd become part of it for a while, and then they'd follow this man and that man and that man. Before you know it, they're committing adultery with bishops and whatever more spiritually. And then what did God do? God wrote them off. It's been the same thing in every age. Don't you see? Our age is no different. Our message is no different. It's necessary for people to leave to prove the same type follows through. But all those that leave does not discredit the truth. All those that blast and let them do whatever they want to do, I feel sorry for them. But let us go on and become His wife. His wife. Would you like to be remembered today before the Lord? Nobody looking, please. God bless you. Just raise your hand to Him. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, You know every person who raised their hand today. I ask You, dear God, that You would minister to their hearts. Father, we believe that we're too late in time to play church. We don't want to play. We want to be real. Lord, I ask You to search my heart today. Look at my soul, my spirit, my body. Look at my motives, my intentions, my objective, everything about me. Search me, Lord God. See if You find anything in me that displeases You. Pass me under the x-ray of God's Word to see if there's something there. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. May You minister to every need today. Oh, Lord, as we, as Esther, so many years ago, we're going to be given the opportunity to come before the king. If the king delights in us, then we will become his queen. If he does not, we will be sent to the harem of the churches. And there we will be judged. And we know that Haggai, those other men, they had access to gifts, gems, pearls, precious things that these women could ask for before they went before the king. But Esther simply chose character. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. May we today choose character. Not a beautiful church, big building, fine homes, cars, all that sort of thing. But character. Granted, Lord, if there's some sitting here today that had never become wife, it would be absolutely phenomenal. If only one person, Lord, who hears this sermon, and they'll hear it from around the world, if one person that's been in the bride status for many years, and they will make that move today to become wife. It will be worth all the studying I've done, all the praying, all the loss of sleep, if one person can cross that line from the spousal to spouse. Praise God. One night with the King changes everything. One day in His courts,
let's stand together,
did forever change my course. One moment in His presence, oh, I've never been the same. One night with the King changes everything.
Let's sing it together. Let it happen to you right now.
Oh, one night with me,
glory
changes everything.
Glory to God.
One day in His course, did forever my course. One moment in His presence,
oh glory,
oh I've never been the same. One night with my King changes everything.
Verse.
Hallelujah. Oh, from the desert to the King, it had been my destiny to be chosen for such a time as this. I didn't know that all my dreams could become realities. Then I saw His face, His love captured me. One night with the King,
glory,
changes everything. Just one day in His court, it forever changed my ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. This is a beautiful song. I love it. One night with the King. A Baptist pastor's wife down in Louisiana was the one who actually wrote it. But you see, you can tell from her inspiration that she didn't realize in this verse, not only just seeing Him changed us, but Him seeing us changed Him. Him seeing us from the Lamb's Book of Life changed Him from eternal to become a creature of time. Oh, glory to God. We have ravished Him. Left Him with no will. Left Him to where He almost stutters. You've noticed this, I'm sure, in some of these verses that we read. He says the same thing and repeats it twice. Oh, my beloved, thou art fair. And then he said, oh, thou art fair. It's like he becomes all weak-kneed when he gets around you. But it's not you as a mortal. It's not you as a human. It's the profoundness of his work. His work in you, when he sees his work, it's so profound. It's done such a thing in you and such a change. Glory to God. I want to pray for a little 3-year-old Gabe Potter. He swallowed some powerful chemicals and he's unresponsive. Heavenly Father, you see this little boy, Lord Jesus. Oh, great King from Jerusalem. We ask you, dear God, for your mercy for this little child. Lord, may your great power reach down to him. These things that he swallowed, Lord, and unresponsive. May the Spirit of God touch him now, Lord, I pray. Grant it, dear God. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I worship you today, mighty God. I'm not sure how long it was that I sat around this message, Lord, after I heard it and I entered into the espousal stage. I don't know if it was months or if it was years. I don't really know. But I do believe that I'm no longer in that espousal stage of bride, but I've entered into the stage of wife. So that's why the prophet said, we're not going to the wedding, but we're going to the marriage supper. For he tells us in 1964, the wedding will be joined together. She'll be united through the ministry of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you today, Lord. When I think of how he came so far from glory, he came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace on Mount Calvary among the lion's dens and the leopard's lairs. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? I'm reminded of his words. I'm reminded of his words. I'll leave you never as you're leaving from Hamana and Shinir and Hermon. Just be true. I'll give to you my life forever and forever. I wonder why. Service last night and today. May I say, Lord, I count it such an honor to have been the vessel that I would be allowed to speak these words to your queen. I thank you. I have so enjoyed studying these things, Lord. As I said yesterday, Lord, down in the basement studying, oh, dear God, I just had to push my computer over a little and just cry in your presence for seeing these things. I thank you. May we be like the little boy looking in the mirror on the door. May we be able to see ourselves a little more clearly today. Father God, how we long for that hour when we'll hear the final cry, "Come out of Lebanon, my children." Hallelujah. Our bodies will respond to that creative voice of the Son of God and will be changed. Until that time, Lord, keep us by your grace. Forgive us of our mistakes, our sins, our shortcomings. May we grow into that image to be more of what you want us to be. Lord, I don't pray you overlook my faults. I don't pray, Lord Jesus, you overlook our shortcomings, but I pray that you'd forgive us for them, which is a great difference. As I said at your table, I'm still lame. I can't move around like I want. I'm still crippled up, as it were. But I pray when you look my way, you see the image of your Son and my likeness. And you tell the preachers to pass the meat my way. The potatoes, the bread. Not that I deserve it, but because of the image of your only begotten Son. And because the only begotten Son became willing, it made a way for millions of other sons. Praise be to God. Go with your people now, Father, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
Amen.
Can you say, it has been good to be in the house of God today? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord willing, see you here again Wednesday night. Let's sing together as we go. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace my liberty. I do not know just why he came. It might have been my eyes. He looked beyond my heart and saw my need. Everybody together now. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, the cross where Jesus died. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God and sing the supports as we go. Oh, I shall forever live my life without to be what Jesus died. Oh,
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it was midnight in the middle of the day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And it was midnight in the middle of trembling soldiers fell before the cross. Oh, the whole world shook. The veil was rent as the sinless Christ was slain. And it was midnight in the middle of the day.
Glory!
Oh, thunder rolled across the rumbling mountain. Oh, lightning burned like a fire across the sea.
Cleansing blood.